On Racing HQ, Racing HQ.
Green lights on and they are racing.
Here's On The Pace.
Tiger Tara, who's well out in front with Todd McCarthy. It's Tiger Tara who takes the tap in a Dominion 2018 and in style.
And at 27:11, the man who's going to give us On The Pace and in style, is Greg Hayes. Good morning, Hazy.
Morning, Cozzy. It's a big week in harness racing. We're 1 week closer to the Miracle Mile, and the last chance to qualify for the Miracle Mile will be this weekend. We saw the running of the Chariots of Fire last Saturday night. Of course, it was taken out by the very talented poster boy for Emma Stewart and Chris Alford. We'll catch up with Chris Alford this morning on the show to have a chat about it. Not only will Chris join us on the show, we're going to speak with Chris Frisby this morning. He got major occasion through to the Ladyship Mile on Saturday night. He's also got one in the sprints on Saturday night. Our Uncle Sam will also speak this morning with Todd McCarthy. Now, Todd got knocked out of the cart on Saturday night. We'll speak with him about that, but he's also got a couple of nice drives on Saturday, so we'll speak with Todd. And also want to speak with Graham White. They had their soft opening of the new track, the Riverina Paceway, yesterday, but they've got their grand opening on March 10. It's a Sunday. It's a big meeting. It'll be on Sky One. I'm going to get there. We're going to have a big hosting on track, so thought we'd catch up with Graham and see how the track opened up and what the trainers and drivers thought of it. They had a bit of a dust storm. They had four seasons in the space of about 15 minutes at Wagga yesterday. So we'll catch up with Graham White and have a chat to him about that. If you missed the news, there was dramas galore yesterday at Harness Racing New South Wales. A couple of trainers missed the closing of nominations. So some big name horses missed feature races. Firstly, the biggest one that missed was Ellie Mack. She didn't nominate in time for the Robin Dundee Stakes, so she effectively is out the Ladyship Mile. There was drama. She hadn't raced in Australia before, so she wasn't in the harness web system. Mark Purden, Natalie Rasmussen, all of the rest of the horses were in the system, so whoever was doing their nominating got the nominations for all their other horses in, but Ellie Mack wasn't nominated, so therefore she didn't get into the Robin Dundee Stakes. Also Steve Reed's pair, Utmost Delight, who was expected to be in the Robin Dundee Stakes, and also Star Galleria, who was expected to be in the sprints. They weren't nominated in time either, so they are effectively out of the carnival as well. So a couple of big names going by the wayside because trainers didn't nominate. But let's talk about what did happen and what horses we have seen over the last 72 hours. What a performance by Poster Boy on Saturday night. Look, he's been around for what seems like an eternity. He raced so well as a two-year-old. He won the Derby as a three-year-old. He's now won the Chariots of Fire as a four-year-old. His trainer, Emma Stewart, wasn't there on Saturday night. Clayton Tonk and Emma Stewart had a little bit of trouble with an FPOS card in Ballarat, I believe, on Saturday. So therefore, they were forced to go to Terang and watch their horse Maritai win the Terang Cup. But their stable representatives were able to be present on Saturday watching Poster Boy win the Chariots of Fire. And Chris Alford was the man who handled the horse. And Poster Boy just continues to get better and better. And now he's going to take part in the $1 million Miracle Mile on Saturday week. Chris is joining us. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Greg.
Mate, he was super impressive on Saturday night. And now he's got a spot in the big dance in a week and a half's time.
That's right. Yeah, he was very good. The race sort of run to suit with such a brutal early speed, but he still had to be good enough to pick him up, and he did it really well.
There was a little bit of pre-race talk, and you suggested that you wanted to stay in front of Ignatius in the early stages. Was that early speed, did all of a sudden you realise that there was just too much speed early, and you made an early decision to let everything unfold and go back a little bit further than you wanted to be?
As we came out of the gate, that was my first intention was to try and get forward and hopefully end up 1-1 or something on Ignatius's back, but they were just going way too hard, and just had to slot in and wait our chance a bit later.
I've gone back and had a look at all of the feature mile races, so Miracle Miles, the sprints, the Chariots of Fire. And I can't find a race where first, second and third have come from last, second last, and third last at the 500 metre mark, and that's exactly what happened in the Chariots of Fire, and that just shows how brutal that first 800 metres was. What did you think when you were, you know, 500 metres from home? Did you were you travelling well enough? Did you think you could win the race from where you were?
Once we got to the half and I saw it was, you know, the 53.9, I knew that the leaders would have to come back, and he felt really good, and come out three wide just as we got into the turn, because I thought Mark was looking around to see if anything was coming. So I guess he had some power left to get us up there. And once he pulled out and I got the trail, he was just really chomping at the bit at the top of the straight. I probably could have sat in for probably another 50 metres, but I saw Ashley Lokas getting through in the middle and thought we'd better get going.
What is it about, you know, everyone says that it takes horses a couple of runs, maybe one run, just to get used to the Menangle style of racing. Why is it that Emma and Clayton's horses don't need that run? They just seem to, doesn't matter whether it's Poster Boy or Guaranteed in the past or any of their horses, they just seem to get to Menangle. They don't need that run. They're just ready to go at Menangle. They seem to be ready for the tough, brutal style of racing.
Yeah, I think it comes down to the way they train them. They have them super fit. And, yeah, like you said, there's sort of no place for the weak at Menangle, and their horses definitely aren't that anyway.
So Miracle Mile, is he ready to take on those open paces, do you think?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. You know, he ran past Spankham and Pat's Delight, which both did a great job in the Dominion. Back in Melbourne, and he was first up for 6 months and ran past both them in the Bonanza. So, yeah, I think he's good enough.
Okay. And what about in terms of four-year-olds? He's obviously got that lightning turn of foot, and that's going to take him a long way. But the turn of foot for a four-year-old, I can't think of too many four-year-olds that would have that in the past.
No, there probably wasn't a lot. Like, Gillaby Kung Fu did a great job in the race last year, but he was more sort of all power, and this one's a little bit different. But, you know, I think he'd be every bit as good as Gillaby Kung Fu. So, you know, given the right run and the way the race might be run, he'll need just a little bit to go his way, but I definitely think he's good enough to figure.
Mate, I was having a look at your Twitter account, and there was obviously an issue on the plane home on the weekend, was there? There's a little bit of something went wrong in the plane, because there was a burning sensation or something in your bag. Everything seemed to get a little bit hot and things got burnt.
Yeah, I was waiting at the carousel for my bag to come out, and I thought everyone else had gone, and I thought they'd left Sydney or something, and there was one bag going around all wrapped up in plastic, and I just happened to walk over and have a look just in case, and I saw the Rip Curl thing under the plastic, so I just thought, oh, for some reason they've wrapped it up. And then when I pulled the plastic apart, the whole top of the bag was all burnt, and I took it over to the desk and opened it up, and the helmet was wrecked. And, I said to the girl, you know, what's the go with this? And she goes, oh, not really sure. Looks like it got jammed in a conveyor or something. So they've just thrown it in a plastic bag in Sydney and chucked it on the plane.
So did they have to replace your helmet?
Yeah, they will. They give me all the forms that I need to fill in and send photos and that to replace it all.
So what are you driving in a backup helmet at the moment?
Yeah, just one of my old ones that I had sitting in a cupboard, and hopefully I've got a new one on Tuesday night, Monday. Might have been Monday night, and sent it off to get painted, so hopefully it'll be ready by the weekend.
Okay. All right, mate. Well, you've been with, just having a look now, you've been with Poster Boy for all but one race, and that was his first win at Ballarat back in May. So you've obviously had a very good association with him right the way through. All the best of luck with him in the Miracle Mile.
Thanks very much, Greg.
And there he is, Chris Alford, the man who will drive Poster Boy in the Miracle Mile on Saturday week. If you've missed the news, there was a big overflow. There's 12 races at Menangle on Saturday night. So there were that many nominations for the sprints that what they've had to do is run two extra races for the horses that were nominated for the sprints. So I've rung Harness Racing New South Wales today to find out what the deal is. They will only accept nominations, or they will only consider horses for the Miracle Mile out of the two sprint races. So the Allied Express Sprint and the Canadian Club Sprint, Menangle will only be considering races, horses for the Miracle Mile out of those two races, and of course the Chariots of Fire as well. So the horses in the Allied Express Sprint are, these. This is in barrier draw order, Tiger Tara's drawn 1, Maxi Man 2, The Fixer 3, Can't Refuse 4, Cash and Flow 5, Picard's the second emergency, Let It Ride is the first emergency, Ashley Locas, so he's going to back up after running a cracking second in the Chariots of Fire. You'd have to assume then that they're basically going to forget what he did in the Chariots of Fire and they're not going to rest on their laurels. I would have thought that the horse had done enough to get a start in the Miracle Mile, but obviously not. Conviction has drawn 9 and San Carlo 10, so those horses will move in with the emergencies out. And then the Canadian Club Sprint, the other group 1, the emergencies have drawn 1 and 2. So Picard's in 2, Let It Ride 1. Let's try again. Picard is in 1, Let It Ride is in 2. But Picard's the second emergency, Let It Ride is the first emergency. Then you've got My Alpha Rock in 3. Our Uncle Sam is in 4. We're about to talk to Chris Frisby. Buster Brady is in 5. Major Dan is in 6. There is Speed Galore there. Spankham is in 7. Now, he is a 4-year-old who's going to have a start. He was meant to be going home for Perd and Rasmussen because of his foot abscess, but they couldn't get a plane home for him. So he stayed in Australia. He obviously didn't compete in the Chariots, but he's ready to go again. So he missed the Chariots, but is going around in the sprints. Cruz Bromac has drawn 8. Myfield Marshall has drawn 9. And Elmer's Image has drawn 10. So they are the fields for the sprints. And the Miracle Mile, obviously, first two past the post in both of those sprints qualify. And that will give us 6 in the Miracle Mile because the other two will be Post the Boy and Yaya's Hotspot. And that will leave the people at Menangle, Club Menangle, with 2 spots up their sleeve. Now, you would think that if Myfield Marshall doesn't run in the first two in the second of those sprints, that he will be given an invite as the defending champ, because they like to have the defending champ in the Miracle Mile. And you would think that if Tiger Tara, something went wrong with him after his dominant season, that they would also pick him. Now, if both of those horse run in the top two, that gives the club 2 spots that they can do with what they like. In the past, they've normally given it to the horses that run 3rd in the sprints. Last year, they had to give 1 to Lazarus because he ran 3rd, I think, from memory in his sprint. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do. They will not be considering horses from the overflow races, if you like. The ones that include all the 4-year-olds, like the Black Prince, the other race, which includes Chase Auckland. Chris Frisby is going to join me right now. And Chris, of course, would be a very happy man. He's got a mare into the Ladyship Mile after her stunning performance on Saturday night, but he's also got a very, very fast horse going around in one of those sprints and trying to book himself a spot in the Miracle Mile. His name is Our Uncle Sam, and of course he has been very, very good in some very strong races of late. Chris Frisby joining me. Morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you going today?
Mate, really well. Firstly, let's talk about Our Uncle Sam. His recent form is good. He has drawn the sprint with all of the gate speed. Are you happy with how he's going at the moment?
Yeah, probably happy going into this race on what it was, probably the Hunter Cup. But real happy.
His last half a dozen starts, he's gone 2nd in the Inter-Dominion Pacing Final, 3rd in the Shirley Turnbull Memorial, 3rd in the Shepparton Cup, 5th in the Ballarat Cup, 2nd in the Hunter Cup. So he's got sensational form of late. He's coming back to the mile. Does that worry you at all?
No, I probably thought he was probably better over a mile than I did than the longer distance. So, Yeah, no, that doesn't, no issue to him, I don't reckon, no.
All right, and with the emergencies out, he comes into barrier two. What about his gate speed with horses around him that have got all the speed? My Alpha Rock's drawn inside him, Buster Brady, Major Dan outside him. What are you expecting of him at the start?
Well, we're only going to hold where we are, really, haven't we? You know, just hunt through a bit. But he got out of the gate really good his last start. Like Held Tiger Targa and those sort of horses out in the other race. Got out easy, yeah, at Ballarat. So he got a fair bit of gate speed, yes.
You must be really happy with the way that Anthony's driving at the moment. He's driving with so much confidence.
Yeah, it's doing him good, ain't he? He's unbelievable. He's just grown into a really good driver, a real good driver. Doing a great job on all my horses, so he is.
He is driving full of confidence. Like, you have a look at his drive in the Sibelius Stakes on the weekend. He was driving the four-year-old mare Major Occasion. She was a $20 chance, but she drew gate six. He was very confident with her, went forward at the start, and was happy to be where he was in the run, and he let the mare do all the talking.
Yeah, she went unbelievable. He drove it terrific. She went unbelievable and just kept doing it too. Like, Jimmy's horse was going to go straight past her, I thought, halfway up the straight, but she seen Jimmy's horse and kicked on again, sort of thing, so she did. And Jimmy's horse probably was the best run in the race, you know what I mean, besides us.
Yeah. What were you expecting of Major Occasion? She's obviously, you know, she's always had ability and she's competed in some very nice races, but what were your expectations going into Saturday night?
I was a bit worried of prior to Melton, right? She just hadn't come back. But the problem is I just couldn't get the weight off her. And now I've got the weight off and got her tightened up, and now she's working unbelievable. The owner said the other day, she said, what do you think? He said, mate, I can't tell you what I think. I said, but all I can tell you is she's working house down. I said, but that's all I can tell you. I said, we're in a big race. I said, but she's dead set working unbelievable. So she is, but she just grew that other leg, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And don't get wrong, like someone said to me, oh, geez, I didn't realise she's so tough. And I said, oh, well, she sat in the desk a fair few times. Like, she sat in the desk seat in the Queensland Oaks and got beat half a head, so, yeah.
She was enormous in the Queensland Oaks. She drew poorly there. She was beaten only narrowly, and then she's gone 150.4. So on Saturday night, she's made herself a pretty valuable brood mare. She's Byart Major out of a fake left mare. So she's going to be worth some when she finishes racing, and she's only 4 years old. Obviously, the barrier draw is going to be very important, and you'll be a pretty keen watcher of the Robin Dundee on Saturday night, no doubt. But the way she's racing at the moment and the gate speed that she's got, she can put herself in a position anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's a good part about it. And she can do a bit of work early. It doesn't really worry her, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, which is good too. So, yeah, with that, the barrier, it comes down to the barrier draw. All these races kind of, mainly at Meningal. Well, you can't draw barrier 10 at Meningal. You have your dream if you think you can win from barrier 10, and which is bad, you know what I mean? But anyway, that's me.
The travelling obviously hasn't worried her too much because she's been to Queensland. You've obviously taken her down to Victoria. She's handled all that. So she doesn't mind getting on the float and doing all the travelling?
No, she's a lovely calm horse. Doesn't matter where you go, she settles in and loves the feed. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Loves the feed. Don't matter. Actually, I've probably got to cut her back feed more than give her feed. But yeah, she's just real relaxed and takes everything in stride. Unbelievable. So she's...
Everything's going well towards the weekend, and hopefully, fingers crossed, you'll have a couple of runners on Miracle Mile night. Hopefully, one in the Miracle Mile with our Uncle Sam and one in the Ladyship.
Yeah, that'd be lovely. That'd be really, really good, yes. Yeah, he's going good too, so all goes well. Everything's on ball there, so.
All right. Well, all the best of luck, Chris. Good luck.
Right up. Thanks very much, mate.
There he is, Chris Frisby. But what a run it's been for him. Our Uncle Sam has jumped out of the ground and is doing a fantastic job. Placings in huge races like the Hunter Cup, the Inter-Dominion. And now all of a sudden, that mare, she was $18, $20. I know Brittany put her in her numbers on Saturday night in the late mail on Sky Racing, and she was super. She sat outside them and proved too strong. Arts Treasure was very good. A super, super job. I mentioned that Todd McCarthy was basically, his horse was scratched anyway, so in the end he didn't miss a drive, and they took him out of the last race. He was going to drive one of the main chances in the final race on Saturday night, but it didn't look good. If you were watching the races. It's Elvis on Saturday night. It was a late scratching. Todd actually was driving It's Elvis, but Kofine Monarch basically reared up and pulled Todd out of the sulky on It's Elvis, and Todd was picked up by the ambulance, and it looked ungainly on track, and then Todd lost the drive on the Red Moon Rising. And I thought we better just touch base with Todd and make sure everything's all right and he's okay to go forward this week. Morning, Todd.
Hey, Hazy, how are you?
Mate, really well. What's the latest with you?
Yeah, I'm all good. I got my clearance yesterday and good to go today.
All right, so a knock to the head, was that the main problem?
Yeah, just sort of that one red up just on my outside, and I think it was just at the point at the on the track where we sort of look towards the mobile, and some horses can have a tendency to swing round there, and it just sort of, he got on his back feet and just sort of swung round, and you know, he was blocked up, and he didn't see me there, and unfortunately I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time and copped the wrath of it.
Okay, and so what did the ambulance officers think straight away? They just wanted to check you out?
Just checked me out. I just sort of hit the track, and I guess I was just out of it for a second, and I come through pretty quick. And then once I got up and that, I felt as if I was all right. It wasn't too bad, and they just said that they'd take me off that last one more as a precaution. You know, I felt as if I was, you know, good to go, but I understand that's the decisions they got to make. And but yeah, no, the next day I pulled up, I was good, and just probably a little bit sore from hitting the ground. And but no, today I'm 100% and ready to go.
All right, mate. Your birthday today?
No, I think it's on Sunday, the 24th, yeah.
24th. All right, mate. Firstly, let's talk about your... what did you make of Picard's run in the Chariots of Fire?
Yeah, I was happy with him. We just had that sort of that first half probably took that little bit out of us. That last 300, it really told on us then, you know. I just sort of had to keep him moving early and sort of fend off a few of them ones that were getting round. And the only real breather he sort of got was in that third quarter once James sort of got to my outside and we could just back the pace off for a little bit around the turn and then try and go again in the straight. But no, I was wrapped with him. He, you know, he done all the work up front and he was still sort of right there in the finish.
All right. Tiger Tara's drawn one in his sprint on Saturday night. He's come up with another good draw. There doesn't look to be a huge amount of speed. Maybe can't refuse out in barrier four, but he looks to have drawn ideally in barrier one, Tiger Tara.
Yeah, really happy to see that. That's worked out brilliant for us. And he seems to be getting off the gate a lot better this season too. So I am pretty confident that he'll be able to get up and hold up a forward position pretty comfortably.
You've also picked up a couple of nice drives too on Victorians. I notice in the Robin Dundee, you're going to drive without you for Emma Stewart in the Mayor's race with Chris Alpha driving Tell Me Tales. That's a nice pickup drive for Emma.
Yeah, that's a great drive to get. I've driven for Emma a couple of times before, so they're a very good stable to drive for and plenty of power there. So hopefully we can get a check.
And Max Delight for David Aiken in one of the Derby heats. It was a winner of one of the Victorian Derby heats, so it's a nice drive as well.
Yeah, and pretty impressive winner too, I thought. He's got a lot of speed, that horse. He great gate speed, so he can get in a handy position early, and he seems to have a really good turn of foot. So hopefully he comes up and settles in well and suits him an angle.
Did I see somewhere they've made an announcement on the Australian representative for the World Drivers?
Yeah, that's correct. So I... lucky enough to get the spot to represent Australia, and I'll be able to go over to Sweden in the end of May, and it's a driver series over about a week's time, and so it's over Elite Lot weekend too, so it should be a bit of fun, and no, it's going to be a great opportunity to represent the country.
Mate, fantastic honour for a bloke of your age, and you follow in some great footsteps, obviously, you know, guys like Chris Alford, Kieran Manning. It's been a while since Australia's had a winner. Teddy Demler is obviously a world champion, and hopefully Australia can hold up that trophy aloft again. It's driving trotters. They don't have paces over there. You've obviously had some success with trotters in the past, but no doubt it's something you can look forward to in a couple of months' time.
Yeah, for sure. I love the trotters, so it's going to be a really good experience to get to drive a whole different bunch of them over there. I think there's about 25 races in the series in total, so we're going to get to do plenty of driving while we're there, and no, it's going to be a lot of fun, that's for sure, Hazy.
Well, mate, all the best of luck for the weekend. Good to hear that you've been cleared and passed fit to drive, and all the best of luck on the weekend.
Lovely. Thanks very much, Hazy.
There he is, Todd McCarthy, who will be the Aussie representative at the World Drivers' Championships in Sweden, and it is part of the Elite Lop weekend. And, of course, Todd did have that experience of driving at the Elite Lop last year, and he was really well accepted by the Swedish media. Obviously, the Elite Lop is the equivalent of our Melbourne Cup. Trotting is the third biggest sport over there in Sweden, behind ice hockey and soccer. And it basically dominates the papers for the week leading up to the races. And they absolutely fell in love with Todd, the Swedish media. So no doubt when he does return, he will be well received again. Thought it would be very, very important we catch up with Graham White this morning on the show, because he is the boss of the Wagga Harness Racing Club. And obviously Wagga have a brand new home and they own it. That's the important thing. They used to be tenants out there at the showgrounds, and it was a great home, but now they've got their brand new home out at the Riverina Paceway, and they had their soft opening yesterday. They've got their big official opening on the 10th of March, and that's going to be on Sky One. It's a Sunday afternoon and it's going to be huge. But they had a tab meeting yesterday on Sky Racing, and I think it was six races on the program, but they had four seasons in the space of about an hour. And Graham White, the boss, is joining us to have a chat about it. Morning, Graham.
G'day, Greg. How are you?
Mate, really well. It looked fantastic. It looked sensational. We had the dust storm, we had the rain, we had everything, we had sunshine, but it looked as though the meeting was quite a success yesterday afternoon.
It was, Greg. There was more people there than just for the soft test meeting than there would be at a normal meeting. It was great to see so many people there. There's a lot of interest in it. And that first race yesterday, they went around in 154.6, a very promising first starter from Neil Day's stable. It really set the benchmark for the others to follow. And then as the day progressed, the dust rolled in from everywhere across the Riverina. But today it's picture perfect here, but we did get four seasons in one day, as you said, but everyone coped pretty well, so it's good to have the track under a bit of pressure first up.
And it was amazing to see what the two-year-olds were able to run as well. Having a chat with a few of the trainers and drivers up here, they were all very impressed to see Rocking with Elvis, I think it was, of Brad Hewitt's, what it was able to do on the track. So I know there's a lot of people interested to get to that meeting on the 10th, not only to watch and to be a part of history as the track is officially open, but also to compete and have horses race at that meeting.
Yeah, that's right, Greg. Well, it's a 1,000 metres, 1,070 metres circuit now, and it's not just the track. The clubhouse is just first class. The stables are just out of this world. That was the main comment yesterday. There's so much interaction between the trainers now, how the stable complex is all, how it's structured, how it functions. Look, it's a terrific facility, and we didn't really have too many problems yesterday. It's been good to have these test meetings. We've got another one next Monday before the big one on Sunday, March 10th.
Now, you're planning on having a 10-race program on that 10th, and you're also going to have plenty of entertainment on the day as well for people who do get along.
Yeah, that's right, Greg. We've got a lot of things on. We've got four kids' bikes to be given away. We've got two holiday vouchers as well. We've got Wagga's top band performing Mighty Yak. There's a lot going on. We've had an approach from the Light Horse Brigade. An aerial dance company is going to be performing here. So it's going to be entertainment non-stop all day. And we're really looking forward to it. And the racing is first class. We've got every race worth $10,000, plus there's four other races worth $15,000 each. So we've got heats of those at Wagga next week, but there's also heats being run around the state for a Best of the Bush series concept that I came up with, and really grateful to those other clubs that become involved in that to give the horses a chance from the other region to race in their heats, finish top two, and then come to Wagga for that big day.
Mate, sensational. We'll get you on again in the week leading up to the big meeting. Mate, sensational. Looking forward to it, and I'll catch up with you for that big meeting.
Thanks a lot for your time, Greg.
There he is, Graham White, the boss of the Wagga Club and the new Riverina Paceway. If you missed it, as Graham said, they've got another meeting coming up next week. Cozzy, that wraps up the show, and back again next Tuesday for another edition of On The Pace as we look forward to the Miracle Mile, which is only a week and a half away.
Yep, exactly. Good on you, Greg. We'll talk to you next week. Greg Hayes on the pace. It's 11:03, Sky Sports Radio. Let's update the latest news and sport now with John O'Farr.